Shakti, potency. Kori, making. Mane, accepts. Hena, such. Jive, living entity. Beda, different. Kara, you make. Ishvarera, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sane, with. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is established as the marginal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, you say that the living entity is completely different from the Lord. Purport. The Brahma Sutra states that according to the principles of Shakti Shakti Matur Abheda, the living entity is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one, but in quantity they are different. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the living entity and the Supreme Lord are accepted as one and different at the same time. So this is the core of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, which is the core of Vedic teachings, and that is the position of living entities as similar but yet different from the Supreme Lord, being marginal potency. Jivara Tatasta Shakti Bed Abed Prakash. Living entities are marginal. Energy of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they are the same as God qualitatively, but they are different from God quantitatively. And I was requested to read a few more verses up to text 167, which we will do. Next is text 164, which is quote from Bhagavad Gita. Bhumirapo nalavayo kammanor budirevacha ahankariti amme bhinna praktritirastada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego are my eightfold separated energies. 165. Apariyamitastvanyam prakriti vidhime param jivabhutam mahabaho yaidam darate jagat. Besides these interior energies, which are material, there is another energy, a spiritual energy, and this is the living being. Almighty Armed One, the entire material world is sustained by the living entities. Verses 164 and 165 are quotations from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, texts 4 and 5. 166. Ishvarer Shivigraha Satchitanandakara Sevigrahikaha Sattva Gunirabhikar. The transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete in eternity, cognizance, and bliss. However, you describe this transcendental form as a product of material goodness. 167. Shivigraya namane seita pasandi adrishya asprishya se haya yama dandi. One who does not accept the transcendental form of the Lord is certainly an agnostic. Such a person should be neither seen nor touched. Indeed, he is subject to be punished by Yamaraj. Very heavy statement. Purport. According to the Vedic instructions, The Supreme Personality of Godhead has His eternal transcendental form, which is always blissful and full of knowledge. Impersonalists think that quote-unquote material refers to the forms within our experience, and that quote-unquote spiritual refers to an absence of form. However, one should know that beyond this material nature is another nature which is spiritual, just as there are material forms in this material world, there are spiritual forms in the spiritual world. This is confirmed by all Vedic literature. The spiritual forms in the transcendental world have nothing to do with the negative conception of formlessness. The conclusion is that a person is an agnostic when he does not agree to worship the transcendental form of the Lord. Actually, at the present moment, all systems of religion deny the worship of the form of the Lord due to ignorance of His transcendental form. The first-class materialists, in brackets, the Mayavadis, imagine five specific forms of the Lord, but when they try to equate the worship of such imaginary forms with bhakti, they are immediately condemned. Lord Sri Krishna confirms that in the Bhagavad Gita 7.15, where He says, Namam duskriti no mutha prapatyante naradamaha. Bereft of real knowledge due to agnosticism, the Mayavadi philosophers should not even be seen by the devotees of the Lord nor touched, because those philosophers are liable to be punished by Yamaraj, the superintendent demigod who judges the activities of sinful men. The Mayavadi agnostics wander within this universe in different species of life due to their non-devotional activities. Such living entities are subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj. Only the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord are exempt from the jurisdiction of Yamaraj. So, following in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footsteps, Srila Prabhupada gives purport which is as heavy as the statement of the verse, which is quite appropriate, because as we were mentioning last time, that Mayavadis are ultimate materialists, as Srila Prabhupada's mentioning. Even though it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada's translating and defining Mayavadis in this particular verse, he calls them agnostics. And you know, the Latin this is the Latin word agnostic, and it comes from agna. A means denial, and gna, if you know Sanskrit, is the same as gya, which is knowledge. So literally, literal meaning of the word agnostic is ignorant person. So Srila Prabhupada translates that because this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states, talking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You speak like a very learned man, but actually you are ignorant because you don't know the Shastra. And so he was patiently listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for what he had to say, but then he completely refuted all his arguments and he achieved his purpose. He made him into a devotee. So this is very interesting. And the subject matter under discussion here is that the foundation of Mayavad philosophy, that Mayavadis, they declare that living entity is completely different from the Lord. And yet, they also say that living entity can become God at a certain favorable condition. And they don't accept that Lord has a form. Why? Because if Lord has a form, then God's position is already taken. But if Lord doesn't have a form, basically, anyone can take that position. So this is their idea. And of course, this idea is very ridiculous. If someone knows the truth of the Vedas, Srila Prabhupada refers in this verse to the Panchapasana process of worship. Mayavadis also worship deities, Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, etc. And they also include Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu in the process. But however, they consider this form to be impersonal. And the idea of their worship is very different from our idea of worship. We worship the Lord with the idea of become trained and purified and qualified to worship Him eternally. But their idea, they worship the deity to become God. I remember Japataka Maharaj was once referring to his conversation with one very prominent Mayavadi guru, and that guru was explaining his sadhana, and his sadhana was very strict, and he also had he was chanting names of Krishna, and his main deity actually was Krishna's deity, and he was worshipping that deity, and he was sharing all these experiences of ecstatic deity worship and chanting of Krishna's names. And Maharaj was thinking, wow, he's quite an advanced personality. And then listening further to him, that Mayavadi said, you know, I actually came to a topmost realization when I worshipped the deity one day. And then he shared his realization. He said, I looked at the deity and I realized that I'm worshipping myself. And then Maharaj said, oh, what a letdown. He spoiled everything with this statement. And yeah, there was also an instance of one Mayavadi coming to one of our temples and was really admiring what's going on, and he was really congratulating devotees for worshipping the deities in the temple so nicely. And then he said, I'm so happy that you're worshipping me in this temple in such a nice way. And one of our devotees, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he actually joined ISKCON after already being Mayavadi sannyasi. And even when he remembers that, when the list of the candidates for initiation was brought up to Srila Prabhupada, and he looked at the names of the candidates, Bhakta such and such, Bhakta such and such, and then he came across the name such and such Swami, Swami such and such. And he was asking, what's that? Swami is for initiation? And then the devotees explained, on, yes, this Swami, he actually, he's a Mayavadi Swami, but he joined and he became a devotee. And then later he was recalling, he was actually sharing some secret spiritual practices, some of the secret spiritual practices Mayavadis do. And he was remembering how one of those practices were that he was sitting on the shore of the sea before the sunrise and meditating on the horizon and at the sunrise, trying to realize how the sun is rising due to his potency. So this is what they practice. So it's really ridiculous, you know, trying to understand how am I making the sun rise.
or the world, whole world is moving around just because of me. Because I'm the Supreme Lord, this is their understanding. And of course, Mayavadi philosophy is very popular because this is why living entities coming to this material world in the first place to become God. And so if there is a philosophy, then actually devotees don't, I mean, not even devotees, but no one needs to learn Mayavada philosophy to understand it, because everyone in the material world is already a born Mayavadi. And therefore, there are so many heavy statements from Srila Prabhupada and from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in regards to Mayavad understanding. And because Vaishnava understanding is completely different. Nevertheless, if we look at the statements of the text and the purport, especially the statement where both Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada say that Mayavadis should never be even seen or touched. And we know there are other statements from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mayavada Bhasha Shunil Haya Sarvanash. That if one is listening to Mayavada Bhasha, Mayavada explanations, Haya Sarvanash, everything is ruined, everything is destroyed. And then we may ask a very relevant question. Srila Prabhupada dedicates so much in his purports, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explains so much about Mayavada philosophy. Basically, from Srila Prabhupada books, you can learn pretty much the whole Mayavada philosophy. So both Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada speak so much on Mayavada Bhashya. Right? And so how is that? If everything is destroyed for one who listens to Mayavada philosophy, why do we dedicate so much time to discuss Mayavada philosophy? And of course, another very astonishing fact is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that one should never even see Mayavadis or touch or have nothing to do with Mayavadis. And yet Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he goes so far as externally taking up sannyas, Mayavad sannyas in Mayavad Sampradaya, and externally he is Mayavad Sannyasi himself. And he's right in the midst of them. And his particular mission is to act in such a way that everyone does follows in his footsteps. Unlike Krishna, he was not performing activities which would he was not performing the activities in enjoying spirit of the Supreme Lord. Rather, he was performing the activities, playing the role of a devotee to set an example, right? How we should become devotees. And so this appears to be very contradictory. How is that Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are against Mayavadis, and at the same time they discuss Mayavad philosophy so much, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu externally becomes Mayavadi Sannyasi. And I was wondering about that point myself, and when I came to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra a few years back, one point which really struck me
that according to the tradition, they, before they start the parade, so many people, respectable people, come up to the chariot to take the blessings of Lord Jagannath. And according to the tradition, because Brahmanas are higher than Kshatriyas, Brahmanas go first to the chariot to receive the Lord's blessings. And I was quite surprised to see Mayavadi sannyasis coming up the chariot of Lord Jagannath before king was allowed on the chariot. So Mayavadi sannyasis are respected more than the king, even today in India, Shankara followers. They are actually considered to be the true brahmanas and true sannyasis and true renunciates, right? Vaishnavas are disregarded as such. For very objective reason, I came across that statement a few times in Srila Prabhupada's books, where he said about Mayavadi sannyasis and Mayavadi sannyasis, and sometimes they fall down, and what do they do in their fallen condition? They perform welfare activities, opening hospitals and schools and feeding people. And yet, if you look at the examples of some ISKCON sannyasis falling down, you don't even want to discuss what they were doing, unfortunately. And so, and Srila Prabhupada says that Mayavadi sannyasis, they are established in goodness. So that's where their power is coming from. They're quite well organized and they're quite cultured people. And nevertheless, they're bewildered about the truth. And the next logical step for them is to understand about the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he knew that Mayavadis, they have so much power and such a respectable position, and actually his whole purpose of accepting sannyas was to establish, make his position very serious, make sure that people respect him as a sannyasi. And Mayavadi sannyasis had the highest esteem, had the highest respect. So this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. For strategical purposes, he accepted Mayavadi sannyas, and right in the midst of Mayavadis, he was converting them into Vaishnavas. There are so many instances, and this is one instance. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, very, very influential Mayavadi guru, and he makes them into devotee by preaching to him. And he makes Prakashananda Sarasvati and all the residents of Varanasi, most of them are sannyasis, he makes all of them into devotees as well. So what does it mean then? That why does he say that Mayavadi should not be seen or touched, basically having nothing to do with? And also considering some of the examples from Srila Prabhupada's biography, when he was taking a walk in Vrindavan and with his disciples, and then one Mayavadi sannyasi was coming the other way, and disciples just, you know, kind of scoffed at him, this condemned Mayavadi. And Prabhupada looked at his disciples and he said, "Why didn't you offer your respects? This is a sannyasi." And disciples were saying, "But Srila Prabhupada, this is Mayavadi sannyasi." And Prabhupada would reply, "But sannyasi is sannyasi. You have to
pay you respect anyway. So, how do we reconcile these apparent contradictions? And of course, firstly, why it's important to understand why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes this statement in here and why Srila Prabhupada makes such a statement in the purport. Because not to see Mayavadi, not to look at Mayavadi, means not to look up at them as authorities in the absolute truth, as authorities in the Vedic wisdom, and not to touch them or not to hear from them, Mayavadi Bhasha Shunya, not to hear Mayavad philosophy, means not to hear that philosophy with the idea that it's a right thing, that it is a right philosophy. Yeah. So everything, and it's interesting that in the purport yesterday to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is also mentioning that everything is depending on one's mentality. And so we can see from practical standpoint that according to the examples of Chaitanya Charitamrita anyway, that those Mayavadis, condemned, cursed Mayavadis, whatever we may think of them, if they become devotees, they really become wonderful devotees. Because they are already established in the mode of goodness. They are just confused in their philosophy. And so if they understand what the next step is, how to get up to the transcendental level in the way as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that, they become really great devotees. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became such a great devotee that still we chant his prayers. And this is, we can say this is the greatest secret of Krishna consciousness, which is highlighted in Mahabharata. It says, Dharmasya tatva vihitam guhaya mahajana yanagata sapandha, that the confidential truth of Dharma is hidden in the hearts of Mahajans, of great souls, and we are meant to follow in their footsteps. And following in the footsteps can be done only if we actually understand the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. And what is in the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Only pure love for everyone. And in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, there is also pure love for everyone as parts and parcels of Krishna. And if they use the heavy tools for preaching, it is done very, very expertly. And Srila Prabhupada also indicated many times, he told many times directly that he should never be imitated by his followers. And actually, he explained one very interesting story to help us understand the danger of imitation. And I'm sure some of you heard the story, but nevertheless we'll refer to it because it is an important story. And the story goes as follows. There was one very famous veterinarian, right? The one who was treating animals, animal doctor. And one young boy, he wanted to get training from him and he became his student. And so one of the appointments the veterinarian had to attend was to go and see a horse which was
very sick due to a swollen throat. And so when they came to see the horse, and the veterinarian checked the horse, and then one thing he did, he opened the horse's mouth, amongst many other things, and looked in at the throat of the horse. And then he told someone, bring me a hammer. And everyone was a little surprised. Hammer for treatment? That's little unusual. But anyway, because he was so famous, they didn't question him, so they brought a hammer. And so what he did, he hit the neck of the horse, on the side of the neck of the horse, with a hammer a few times. And then after that, everyone saw that the swelling went down and the horse's throat became completely normal. And horse just stood up on the feet and was completely cured. And everyone was very impressed, including that student. And after that episode, that student said, you know, Guru Maharaj, I think now I can start my own practices. And the veterinarian said, well, I don't think you really learned well the art. You have to stay with me for a little longer. But he said, no, I already understood how to treat the animals. And so despite of, you know, the warnings, he left the veterinarian. And then the veterinarian started hearing that his student goes around and he's advertising himself as the best student of that fame of him. And he was very famous, so he's utilizing his fame. But when he goes to treat the animals, he takes a hammer, hits them on the neck and kills them. And then finally, that veterinarian managed to find that student, and he said, why do you do that stupid thing? Why are you embarrassing, why are you putting my name to shame? And why are you doing this stupid thing? Why are you killing the animals with a hammer? And he said, well, Guru Maharaj, I'm just following your example. I'm just following your footsteps. I still remember how wonderfully you cured that horse, hitting the horse's neck with a hammer a few times. And of course, I haven't managed yet to cure any animal, but I think I just need more practice. And after some time, I'll, you know, get it together. Don't worry, Guru Maharaj. I'll be fine. And then, upon which veterinarian said, you're a stupid fool. You don't understand a thing. In that particular instance, when the horse's neck appeared to be swollen, it was not actually swollen due to any disease, but the horse was grazing somewhere in someone's garden, and the horse swallowed a melon, small melon, without chewing, and that melon got stuck in the horse's throat. And when I opened the horse's mouth, I saw that there is a melon inside. And so I broke the melon from outside with a hammer. And then horse was able to swallow the melon and horse was cured. But you didn't understand the purpose of why have I done that in the first place. And you're just imitating me and you're embarrassing me due to your ignorance. And you're ruining your own reputation. And so actually this story is so appropriate to our situation. Why? I just thought about this story and it's really striking that in a sense we as devotees were meant to cure conditioned souls from their ignorance. We meant to help people around us to come out from their ignorance. And Shastras say if someone is very materialistic and in ignorance, he's no better than animal. Vipada Pashu, right? This human being is no better than animal.
So in one sense, you can say that we are meant to be, quote unquote, veterinarians also, cure animal-like humans. And there are different tools which can be used for cure. There are medicines, etc., etc. And the hammer is the heaviest tool of all, right? And we can say, out of the what do you call it? Out of the tools of preachers, the criticism and the criticism and chastisement is the heaviest tool of all. And Srila Prabhupada was using that tool. Yes, because he was super expert. He could shortcut the whole process, and he didn't know how much longer he has to stay on the planet physically. So he had to make sure that he will complete the work in a very short time. So oftentimes he had to cut the corners. And he had to use heavy tools just to help people to come up to this, to wake up, basically speaking. And he was using very heavy tools with people, but he knew in which case to do that. But then when his disciples were trying to do the same thing, when his disciples were trying to get heavy with people, thinking that they are following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, he warned them. He said, you should not do that. I am an old man, and people accept my chastisement, but if you do the same thing, it won't produce that effect. And specifically in here, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's making this very heavy statement to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But in fact, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, first of all, is a very cultured person. And second of all, it is India, after all. And my experience that people in India, even ordinary people, what to speak of, cultured people, they have actually very small false ego. And they can accept the chastisement very easily, unlike Western people. And we can see that he criticized Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya humbly accepted that criticism. And it's also interesting to see in other parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are certain instances, and then everyone accepts that. Everyone accepts the criticism and reforms oneself. For example, Gopinathacharya was also chastising and criticizing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he was accepting that because he was cultured. He was already in goodness. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew exactly that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will take it in the right way, and it will produce the desired effect. And so he was using that criticism to wake him up and make him a devotee in the shortest possible time. And yet, we need to be very careful using the hammer, because if we are not careful, and if we chastise and criticize those people who will not accept it and feel bad about it, then we will have to bear the reaction for that. And eventually we may, trying to destroy ignorance in other people's heart, we are also running the risk of destroying our own Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we need to have this, holistic understanding of Prabhupada's teachings, holistic understanding of teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna, in order to follow and present these teachings, as Srila Prabhupada said, according to time, place, and circumstances,
in a very expert way so that it would have the desired effect. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, anyone wants to add anything or comment? Okay. Pushkar Prabhu was first.
I'm not sure I understood what you meant, that that people in India, they don't, you know, they're mostly motive. You're not saying they're mostly in Sattva-gun, right? Some people are, but I would say that, you know, if you were in Bengal and if you get in a big Pandal situation or any situation and you start to rant and rave against Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, you're going to have a big, big problem. They're not going to be very happy. In any part of India, they have their saints and so-called. But of course, Ramakrishna probably said, due to Ramakrishna, the entire Bengal, all of India has gone to hell. He said that. But so he spoke very strongly against them. But anybody else would never be able to do that. You know, they're very, very angry. Their motive, passion. There's nothing sattva-gun at all about these people. Even Jai Pataka, who knows fluent Bengali, he once said something in a big Pandal situation at Calcutta Rath Yatra. It was almost a riot. They were going to burn the entire Pandal, you know, like think Bhakti Charu had to pacify the people. And these people are really, I mean, I think Prabhupada could get away with that in a huge crowd. He could say something and people would be quiet. They may not agree, but that's another example of not imitating Prabhupada. But as far as the people being, taking the criticism, not having big ego, I'm not so sure. They have a different type of ego, but they have plenty.
Yeah, I'm just talking on the basis of my own observation and experience in India that I noticed that, of course, Kali Yuga is influencing even India, but still there is some culture left, and my experience with talking with Indians, if you tell them directly in face what's wrong with them, they don't protest, they accept. I had this, I heard about this funny case of one Russian devotee coming to India to distribute Prabhupada's books. And in Russia, he was doing quite well because he was going to the offices into businesses, and he was telling people some nice things about them, and people were kind of happy about it, and they were buying books. And he came to India, and he tried the same thing in Indian offices with Indian businessmen. And then this Indian businessman, they would, you know, he would tell them, you know, oh, you are so fortunate, you are Indian, this Vedic culture belongs to you, please, you know, take these books and read these books. And they would say, oh, yeah, this culture belongs to you, so belongs to me, so I know everything already, I don't need these books. And so he wouldn't be able to distribute any books. And then he was asking the other devotee, who was doing quite well, he was distributing a lot, and he was asking, how do you manage that? And that devotee said, well, you have to have completely different approach in India. And he said, come with me, I'll show you. And they entered into one office. And right from the start, that book distributor, successful book distributor, started getting on that businessman's case, started chastising him. He said, look, you're imitating Westerner, right? You're completely degraded. You lost your culture. You lost your knowledge. You don't know nothing. Look at me. I come from Russia. I wear, you know, Tilak and Vaishnav dress. I read these books. What do you do with your life? And so he started chastising this man, apparently for nothing, before he managed to even say a word. And that businessman said, oh yes, Swamiji, what can I do for you? And then he said, buy these books and read at least, you know, learn a little bit more about your own culture. He said, oh yes.
What? So a long time ago, he used to say, you'll be cursed by Krishna. He was very, very heavy, and this is coming from Garga Muni style. So this is working for a long time.
Yeah, but it's working because...
You scare them, they'd have to call. He'd give them time, he'd say, I'll give you time to think about this. Then they'll call back, oh, so we decided to become life member now because that Krishna will curse you because you don't join.
Yeah. But the same thing would not work in the West because people have much bigger false ego. That was my point. Thank you, Prabhu.
You have to know what button to push.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Prangovinda Prabhu.
I was wondering, like, maybe we can address, because this Mayabad discussion going on for last 1 month at least. It will go on probably another few months. So the origin of why Lord Krishna sanctioned this Mayavadism to even appear. In Brihad Bhagavatam Mrita, Narad Muni is glorifying Lord Shiva. I'm trying to squeeze the story so we can have a like synopsis. Where Lord Shiva confront that, no, don't glorify me. I am not good. What I have done as a Shankaracharya, I went against Lord's worship. And he quoted that, you know, that 9:15 Bhagavad Gita, ekatena pritakatena bahuda vishyata mukham. In the purport, I thought it was the most fascinating purport Prabhupada gave as for the worshipping. He said the first class worshipper are those Mahatmas, because the few sloka before is all the glory of Mahatmas. Now he's coming that second class worshipper are those Chaturvida Vajantamam, the four classes comes, they become second class. Then the third class, Prabhupada says in the purport, are this. They are also three divisions. Ekottena, they become one, or they think they are one. Pritakottena, they make some imaginary form like this. And Prabhupada put more, out of this third of a third class, the one who thinks one is the worst. Mm. So in Lord Shiva in the Brihad Bhagavatam Mrita, he quoted, and then Narad Muni defied that. No, you did not do anything wrong. I know why you have done this. Mm-hmm. Because after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the degradation of Varnasram Dharma took place due to all the men disappear or got killed, 640 men. And then the Varnasankar did take place. And there was a very much degradation where Lord Shiva had to come, where the advantage or what he called so-called Pandit, they took the shelter of Maya, they took the shelter of atheistic nature, but took shelter of the Veda. That time Shankaracharya had to come to divert them. Why? Because so that the innocent people like us can take this pure form of Vaishnavism. So that's why that verse is quoted. Mayavadam asat sasram prachanna buddha uchate mayava bahita devi kolo brahmana murtina. I will come in the form of Brahman to divert them. But it is a form of Buddhism, but it disguised. Why it is disguised? So that it will appear like to catch more atheistic, agnostic, those people. So this way, the simple, innocent jiva, those who are less contaminated, will be able to take the process of bhakti. And if you look at the age, even it's very fascinating. 700 AD, Vishnu Swami came. He was the first before Shankaracharya. 786, when Shankaracharya came, he adopted the Vishnu Swami's what he did. This Prabhupada also mentioned in Adi Lila 10th chapter, that where Shankaracharya took the things, sannas, all these things that they established from Vaishnava. Which Vaishnava? The Vishnu Swami. The 10 names, you know, the Keshava, Saraswati, these are from Vishnu Swami. So he took it and then he rewrote to defeat what pure Vaishnavism, to divert. So there is a hidden part why Krishna sanctioned this. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says very sweetly, he says, I understand all these six philosophy. They have one thing common. They are opposed to you and your bhakti and your eternal relationship. So from far distance I pay obeisances to them because you sanction them. Because they are diverting those heavily contaminated soul so that normal, innocent public can take this process. So in that sense we associate with Mayavad. From respect, the Krishna sanctioned them to do this. But I have really nothing to do with it. But I understand why they had to come. So like there's some idea.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. Yes, I was also thinking that it's good for us as devotees to see the bigger picture, just behind, you know, ISKCON and what's going on in our little neighborhood or whatever, to see how Krishna's plan is unfolding. And, you know, just because by Krishna's mercy and Vaishnava's mercy, I have the opportunity to travel around quite a bit. And I can see many astonishing things happening. And it's very easy to see how Lord Chaitanya's plan is unfolding. And it's very encouraging. For example, there are many, many groups, at least Mayavadis, they are based on something. They are based on Vedas. You know, they are speculative in one sense, but in many ways they are establishing the true Siddhanta. They are helping people to become renounced, to accept the authority of Vedas, etc., etc. So there are many benefits they provide. But there are many groups who are completely speculative. And I came across one group, and it is very popular. It's originating from Japan. And this group, they have this funny name, Happy Science. I looked at all of them. None of them looks happy. None of them even smiles. But this is like a big issue in Japan. It's really easy to catch Japanese with the word happy, because they strive to be happy so much, because they're so much stressed out. And so this group is so popular. They basically have no philosophy. They just use some very basic Buddhist ideas. But their founder, you know, this is how you become popular in this world. You know, Prabhupada says that some people claim to be God or whatever, some exalted personalities. This guy outsmarted everybody. He claims to be reincarnation of Lord Buddha, Jesus Christ, and Muhammad, all three put together. Basically, he says, that was me who came as Lord Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad, and was teaching all these things. And now he said, I came for the first time, and I'm giving you the ultimate teachings, which, you know, I looked at their philosophy. It's like nothing in there, absolutely. But yet, because he claims himself to be that, so many people follow him. And, I mean, in Tokyo alone, they have 600 temples.
Wow. In, they call
them
temples?
Yes, marvelous buildings. All the buildings are like museums, marble and everything. And in Japan, they have 7,000 temples, very beautiful temples. And I think we went into one with Vyasachuna Prabhu. And there, you know, in their temple room, the worshipable object is chakra, big wheel. And I was telling Vyasachuna, look, what we have outside of our temples, they have inside. And then they have 10,000 temples worldwide. And of course, it's very easy to follow them because they have no principles, nothing. You don't, you know, just sign your name and you're already a member of that group. But I was quite fascinated to see, I looked into his preaching, and his preaching is, you know, kind of very condescending. He says, we already surpassed Buddhism, Christianity and Islam, and we're teaching much greater teachings. But when he comes to Hinduism, surprisingly enough, he's very respectful. And when he talks about Krishna, he says that Krishna is personification of love. And this is what we're missing in our lives. This is the main thing we miss. And he basically glorifies Krishna, even though he knows nothing about Krishna. And then because he glorifies Krishna, so many of his followers, they want to know more. And where they go? They go to ISKCON temples to learn about Krishna, and they invite ISKCON devotees Like we went to one of their temples, we did kirtan in there, and we distributed prasadam, and they were very friendly. And then in turn, they came to our temple to learn more about Krishna, because they realizing that Krishna is love, Krishna is happiness. So this is the way. If they are happy signs, so the way to be happy is by coming in touch with Krishna. And I was just thinking, this man, he's attracting so many people, basically hundreds of millions of people globally. And he's telling them about Krishna. And even though he has no philosophy and he's like living in his own dream world, and as one of my friends says, he's watching his own movie in his head. But yet Krishna is using him as an instrument to introduce people who would probably never come across devotees in their lifetime. He's introducing them to Krishna and inducing them to look for Krishna. So I was thinking, and I'm sure, I mean, I see picture which is maybe a little bigger than other devotees do, but I don't see the complete picture. But just seeing these little fragments here and there, I can admire Lord Chaitanya's master plan and how he executes that so expertly. And yeah, that this prediction of development of the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning about, is rapidly unfolding in front of our eyes. Pushkar Prabhu.
I was surprised to hear you. He says he's an incarnation of Muhammad. It seems like they would put a fatwa, because they're very heavy offense. Like they must not have Muslim fanatic, or he has a lot of bodyguards. Because if you go and say you are an incarnation of Muhammad, they're going to put a fatwa, the fanatic Muslims, and they're going to get you. You know. So I'm surprised to see that he's still living.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Krishna is protecting him. Maybe because he is helping in Lord Chaitanya's mission. All right. Anyone else? Okay, so thank you very much for your kind attention. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.